Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to take them to Acts and turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. There you're going to find the story of a man named Ananias. And the title of the message is The Power of One Life Dedicated to Christ. One life dedicated to Christ. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Father, as we pause now for a few minutes and look at the life of one of your servants, not necessarily known by anybody except that was written here by Dr. Luke so many years ago, and yet vitally important for the ministry and the mission of God. I pray that you'll speak to us how important it is for us to understand just how valuable and important our mission is that you call us to, and that we are servants whom you need and call out. We thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. So God's servants are planted everywhere, all over the world. And Ananias is just one of many of them. We tend to, when we think of servants of God, we tend to categorize them. We all do this. We think, who is a great servant of God? Well, I go automatically to my list. You probably have your list. You think of this guy or this gal or this organization or that organization. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but we kind of go to that. But yet, when it comes to the reality of fact, the majority of the servants of God, the great servants of God, we don't even know who they are. We have never met them. And we probably never will on this side of heaven. But that doesn't make them any less important than the great list that we might come up with. I mean, you think about Saul up to this point, he certainly wouldn't be on anybody's good list. He might be on the naughty list, but not on the good list. And yet God is supernaturally intervened. So we have here this servant, just one of many, don't have much about him. He probably was one of the Jews who was in Jerusalem at the time when the Pentecost took place. Most likely he heard Peter preach. Most likely he called out on the name of the Lord. Most likely he was saved and went back and now has been serving the Lord there, but no one knows who he is. I've been to many conferences. Dan was talking about a conference he went to. I'm pretty sure he probably didn't know most of the people there and never will get to see them or meet them ever again. I even went to school with guys and gals for 5 years at seminary, or I could go back further than that, hundreds and hundreds of them in high school. Our graduating class is pretty large. I have no idea where they are. I haven't seen most of them for a long time. So we won't necessarily have this great man Saul or this great man Ananias in our story. And we kind of need to go into the story with that in mind, all right? I know they're great now, but back then, who's Saul? Well, I know who Saul is if you're a Jew. Who's Ananias? I don't know. Maybe if he lives in Kokomo, you might know the name. But if you live in Peru, you might not have an idea. So as we go into it, we need to think of this, that God has His service planted all over the world. So really, it's interesting that it's really not our popularity or our anonymity that does really change the importance of our fulfilling God's mission. So here we have here the idea that Christ and our commitment to Him can make a big difference. Now, how many of you have heard of the name Billy Graham? You're all laughing at me. Okay, sure. How many have heard the name Mordecai Ham? Few. How many have not heard of him? Put your hands up really high. Okay, that's okay. That's all right. But it was Mordecai Ham who was preaching a revival service, and it was a young man named Billy Graham who trusted Christ as his Savior. Never heard of him. Yet he's pretty important in God's overall plan. He accepted his mission. How many have heard of Billy Sunday? All right, here's another one a lot of people heard of. How many have heard of J. William Chapman? A few. All right. Well, Billy Sunday, of course, was at one time, I believe, a professional baseball player. And then he got gloriously saved through the ministry. And this J. William Chapman was involved in the YMCA ministry and helped Billy Sunday grow in his ability to preach the gospel and become a very, very good speaker. How many of you have heard of Dwight L. Moody? Yeah. All Moody grads better have their hands up, that's all I got to say. I'm turning you into the Moody police. Yeah, and of course, we've talked so much about it, you've probably heard of the name Ed Kimball, right? How many of you don't know who Ed Kimball is? Okay, that's all right. Ed Kimball was the one guy who walked into that shoe store and led this young man named Dwight L. Moody to faith in Jesus Christ. See, we look at the Dwight L. Moody's or the Billy Sundays or the C.S. Lewis's or whoever it might be, and sometimes we can stand in awe. But in reality, we ought to stand in awe of a holy God who would save any of us. And the whole idea simply is that all of us are important. And though your name and my name may or may not ever be, quote, famous in the eyes of people, it is important for us to understand that God considers you important. And your ministry is important. It's not for, oh, we're going to let that guy, oh, that guy's a really good preacher, or that girl is a really good teacher, or whatever it is, and we're going to let them kind of handle it. Or that guy over there, or that gal over there, they're really good evangelists. And I'm just going to back up, and my role in this whole thing is prayer. Well, that's a cop-out. Now, I'm not saying that you and I may not be necessarily as gifted as someone. Certainly, if I went to the piano, I know three songs. It's the same three songs I learned when I was five. You might not want me to play them. That doesn't mean, though, that I don't have an responsibility to express my joyful noise to the Lord as I sing worship to Him. And we are the same way. We may not be gifted in this area or that area or that area, but we're all called to be disciples of Christ and to share His love to all. So He uses all kinds of people. Now I want you to notice something about this servant in our passage. Did you catch it up early there? So the Lord said to him, Ananias. He heard his name. All right, this has happened several times in Scripture. That'll be a fun study sometime. But he says to him, what are the words? Here I am, Lord. How many of us respond that way? Think about the times in our own lives when God has spoken to us about something. Oftentimes it's in during the day. It's on the natural, normal things of life. You could be in the backyard mowing. You could be at the store. You could be at work at a desk next to somebody. And all of a sudden the Lord says, your name. Okay, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Now, you know what He's asking you to do. He makes it pretty clear. Here, this is what I'd like you to do. Your brother over here, your sister over here needs some prayer. They need some encouragement. They need some help or whatever. And He might be tapping you on the shoulder. Fill your name in the blank. I want you to go. How do you respond? Do you say, here I am, Lord? Or you go, here I go, Lord. I'm out of here. Get scared. We get scared. We're all brave until we're called. Then we find out how brave we are. And so here Ananias, I think it's pretty great wherever he was from. And he's willing, he says, Lord, here I am. Now just saying it is one thing. We're going to see there's a challenge along the way. But I love this response to it. We don't want to be like back in Ezekiel. You don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel 22, the nation has really declined. Bad. We know that judgment is coming. It's coming to Israel. And the Lord says here, He says, I sought out for a man among them. Who? The nation. The nation. Who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Almost sounds like the Noah passage without Noah, right? He looked all over the earth, except in this passage there was no Noah. There was no one that was standing up, and we're talking about spiritual things now. The nation has become so corrupt that he says, I didn't find any. That is not to be the case. Ananias is kind of an encouragement here. He says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. So that's good. And we know that here that God's working together all things for good, that those who love Him, those who are called according to this purpose. So every servant of Christ is important, which means this. If you're a servant of Christ, you're important. So the question is, are you a servant of Christ? Are you a servant of Christ? You don't have to say out loud. It's something you need to think about. So your life and your mission from God's matters. So the whole point is live like it matters then. Live your life like it matters. Well, some might say, well, how can my life make a difference to anyone, really? Well, this is where Ananias helps us out again. Now, you have to kind of go to chapter 22, but it's another reflection of Ananias. In Acts 22:12, it says this. It says that Ananias was a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there. So whatever Ananias was, whatever he did, I don't know what his occupation was. He was a person that others respected and looked up to. He wasn't the kind of guy that you walked away and said, man, I don't know, I think I'm going down aisle 4. See you later. You know, or you see him in the parking lot and you decide you want to go shop at Myers instead of Walmart. Or whatever it might be, you just want to avoid because though they're a Christian, they scare you to death, and it's always a negative, nasty sort of at you, your face, and you just want. He had the kind of reputation that people enjoyed. He was spoken well of. Now, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about living righteously before God and all that, and you guys could probably quote a few. But I like this verse because it talks about how he lived before God and other people. That's different. I mean, it's one thing in church or with some Christian friends, and it's good to have those support systems to say something that's spiritual. It's a whole other thing to live that way when no one else is watching or among the world. So here Ananias was a devout man. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when these moments in our lives that they're like snapshots, and I want you to think about that for a minute. Think of a picture. So I want you to think of your, and we're thinking of the word testimony, the word picture. Okay, picture. You got it. How do you like the pictures of your past? Let's go back. Let's go back to those yearbooks. All right. Yeah, we know the famous yearbook pictures. Nobody likes those most of the time. I can tell you, there's always the picture. How many enjoy the ones without the teeth in the front? Most likely first or second grade, right? Most likely, yeah. How about the one that you had, you tried your best, but there's just acne all over the face? Or the weird smile? Or how about no smile at all? Don't you guys have any pictures like that, or am I the only one? Man, yeah. I mean, our pictures tell us a story of where we are in our life, kind of. Oh, this is where this guy is. This is where. Oh, I remember those days. How many of you want to go back to those acne years? Ah, nobody raised their hand or said amen. Yeah, okay, so we have all kinds of pictures in our lives that tell a story. And if you were to grab your yearbooks, whether it be elementary, do they have elementary yearbooks these days? Maybe they do. They didn't. So we had a junior high yearbook, and by the time I got there, you know, I was 27, but I was excited. And never mind, we won't get into that. So in high school, and I can open it up. You ever done that? You ever look at your old yearbook every now and then, and you look at those people, right? And what comes to mind? Well, that guy was funny. Or that guy was weird. Or man, that girl could sing. Oh yeah, he smelled. He was always in the athletic room or something. He's a football player. I don't know what that is. Sorry, football players. I'm just saying. I mean, we kind of, their picture just tells from our perspective, whether it's 100% accurate or not, a story about how they came across to us. Now, we may not have known them very well, I get that, but some of them you would have known well, and their life was telling a story. What was your story? So when people look at your yearbook, your Christian yearbook from the years past and even today, what story does it tell? When they look at that, they say, oh man, they're so-and-so. Oh man, I am so glad to have them in my life. They are an encouragement to me. And, you know, and on. Or is it like, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not in that situation anymore. Oh, I have to hang out with that person. I mean, so what story will your picture tell? Here Ananias has a picture. He's devout. He's loyal to God. He loves the Lord. And everyone speaks well of him. That's a great testimony. That's what we want. So your testimony, the question is, how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference? Because I told you first that everyone can make a difference. Every servant of Christ can make a difference. How? By having a good testimony. Testimony. Some of us may not be thrilled with all the pictures we took of our past. In a spiritual sense, that's the case. I would imagine there might be some photographs of things that we've done or thought of in our past, maybe recent past, that we want those negatives burned up. We don't want them out there. But here's the good thing. When you come to Christ as a believer and you confess your sins, the Bible says He's faithful, He's just to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can take a new picture. You can take a new picture. But see, the world, the flesh, and the devil will work against that entire mentality in every possible way. It will tell you what you're not good at. It will tell you how much you lack or what is wrong with you. That's the approach. It's always negative. And so you end up chasing and trying to find that peace of God, and you can't except in Christ. And here, it matters. You matter. You may have a bad hair day in your spiritual life. You may have some teeth that are missing from time to time. But the great thing about it, and the great thing about Ananias, and I'm sure he wasn't a perfect man, is that he was able to take a new picture every day. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And that's what he does for us. You could do it right now. Are you tired of living down, beaten up? I mean, it might be just easier if we all just admit, hey, we're all sinners. All right, from that position, we can be saved by grace. We can live it by it too. And we can don't have to live in defeat. So Ananias was a great testimony. And your testimony will help you fulfill that mission of God. Now, Ananias wasn't out stomping around trying to find a way, how can I, you know, promote myself or get in the New Testament. That's really my goal. I want to be in the New Testament. Nope. Just an ordinary guy living his life, being devout, being kind to his neighbors, had a good testimony, and God knew exactly where he lived. And God knows your address. So you could take a rest and relaxation right now. Where are you today? Maybe it's time for you to take a new picture. Well, Jesus heals a man from possession in Mark 5. You don't have to turn there, but there is a phrase that he says that I think is important to this idea of testimony. He says this to this guy after all of that. Now you can imagine, I don't know, maybe you've been around someone you thought was demon-possessed. I've been around someone, I've told you this story before, several different people, but just because of the situation, the guy I was next to, and he was able to clearly see that. And then a guy actually did an exorcism once. That was really freaky. That's for another story. So they have a certain testimony, but it's not a good one. What was that demon-possessed man's testimony? Well, no one wanted to be around him, right? And yet something transformed when he came to Christ. And this is what Jesus said. Of everything you can do, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home to your friends. And I want you to tell them how much the Lord has done for you. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you now. If you're sitting here today and you say, I don't have anything to say. Well then, my friend, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you know Christ as your Savior, you already have a story. That's the story to tell. What was life before but you came to Christ? Then Christ gloriously saved you. He called you. He redeemed you. He's keeping you. And what is your life like afterwards? You have a story. So if you don't have a story here this morning, you're going to have an opportunity at the end of this message to come and trust Christ. You can do it right now, or you can come at the end and give your life and get yourself a really good story. And so here we have this guy. I will go, I'm going to go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for me. And I think that's where it starts with us. How can we know that our life matters. We know we don't have to be a Saul or a C.S. Lewis or Dwight L. Moody, that our ministry is important too. And how can that matter? Because of our testimony. Of course, I love what Ananias said here. I want to take a look just for a moment back in the story in verse 13. And this is a good guy. We've seen he's involved in the mission of God. But it says, but Ananias answered the Lord after he told him to go, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. So there's the testimony and the reputation. He has a rep. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Now, before we throw stones at him, I think you and I might have the same feeling. This guy was bad news. I don't blame him one bit for being hesitant about going into the same town, much less the same house as Saul, because Saul was just a bad dude. The rumors were true, everything that he had heard. But I would ask you the question, maybe God, does he know a little bit more than Ananias? Maybe God is able to do something above, beyond what he can imagine or think. Is that possible? Okay, so this is what he does. But the Lord said to him, you know, he's not yelling. There's no anger here. It's reaffirmation. Hey, just go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And immediately it says, Ananias departed and entered the house. You see, being a super Christian, so to speak, those are the words we use, not God, but being a super Christian is an act of daily obedience. And it's not a perfect walk. I mean, we said, why didn't he have more faith? Why did he just say, yeah, God, let's go and I'm running? Well, because he's human and he struggles with what has happened and there's a history back there and this guy is just wicked and evil and I'm not sure. And so we question God. And yet God knows that. And he calls Ananias to go anyway. And so Ananias, once he heard it, he doesn't continue to argue. He simply goes. He just departed. No more words are spoken. Okay, God. That's what you want me to do. I laid my concern before you. You want me to go? I'm going. Which leads us really to the big idea here. God will walk us through many kinds of doors for ministry when we trust him. I think oftentimes we miss those opportunities because we don't trust him. He says, go, and we go, but we go the other direction. He says, trust, and we doubt. He says, witness, and we keep our mouth closed. And we miss these doors. I don't know how many times you and I have been skeptical of such great conversions of someone famous in our modern day for Jesus Christ. We could probably all come up with a couple names if we thought a little hard enough. Remember the great singers, the great Hollywood actors that came to faith in Jesus. You guys know any? There are several that have over, you know, the last 50 years or so. And it seems like when that happens with a lot of them, it doesn't last very long. And I'm not here to throw rocks at them. There could be a lot of reasons for that. Maybe they threw them into the limelight way too soon. Maybe they should have been discipled for like 5 or 10 years or whatever. But for whatever reason, we don't hear about them. But there was a gentleman that came out, and I did the best research I could. But for those of you who want to dive into it after the service, by all means, go ahead. And maybe you remember the rap song from the 1990s. It was very famous. This is how we do it. Anybody remember that one? You're not going to raise your hand, but I know you've heard it. Yeah. Yeah, so, Josh, you don't know that song? You weren't born? Man, all right. Well, it was like a hit for a long time. It like broke records as far as how long it was at number one. Normally, number one songs don't stay on number one for more than a few weeks, but this one stayed up there quite a bit. And then even after that, it stayed in the top 100 for a long time. It was used by a lot of organizations. Well, here's the name of the singer, Montel Jordan. I don't know if anybody knows that name. I didn't know it. I've heard the song, of course. But he had a spiritual experience with God. Now, don't get on your phones and look at Montel Jordan, please. Yeah, I caught you. All right, so, yeah, Montel Jordan. So you can look him up afterwards. Apparently, he had a spiritual experience with God. And the several websites that I have, different ones, said that he gave his life to Christ. All right? And so what happened to him? Because that's really what I'm after. It's not like, okay, I got no problem. God can save anybody, right? Well, that's pretty weak. Did God save you? Okay, can God save anybody? Yes, he can. Okay, so, all right, save Montel, that's fine. So, look, what's he doing today? He and his wife have been in Christian ministry as a pastor for over 20 years and are still serving the Lord. So I'm like, okay, maybe this one is legit. Maybe it's stuck, it seems. And I just see that where an opportunity here that Ananias was hesitant about going, and yet because of his obedience to God, he was able to touch the life of a nobody in our eyes, but yet a somebody in the eyes of God. And how God used Saul and discipled him for several years at the seminary of Jesus, and was able to make such a strong servant that would make a difference for Jesus Christ. Thing is, you and I don't want to just say, well, you know, I want to go be with that guy, I want to be with that girl because they're famous. We know people that do those sort of things. That's not our calling. Our calling is to go and tell to whoever. Because we don't know. And it doesn't matter. There will probably be a lot of people in heaven, a lot of Edward Kimballs, that we don't know, but yet they were faithful to God. They recognized their importance in this mission of God. And when God called them, they went and they served. And what a difference it made. So here we have this guy serving Christ 20 years later. So whether you're Ananias or a Saul or a Philip or Stephen, you're a disciple. You're a disciple of Christ, and your life matters, your calling matters, and you can trust God in the mission where you're planted. So really, the question, the application is this. Number one, have you been called by God? Has God called you? Well, I think he's calling you, and if you're here today and you have no assurance that if you were to face God this day, meaning either he comes or he calls you, one or the other, that you are confident that he would say, well done, come to the kingdom, that you are a Christian, that you are saved. The good news is that God has provided for that salvation for you. The thought, what we could not do, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, just dead. God made us alive through Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for you and me, and rose again, offers eternal life, but it's through faith in him and him alone. See, there's nothing you and I can do. We can't go to church enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't give enough money away. You can't do all this stuff that'll earn your salvation. It won't happen. You must receive the holy gift of God. The only thing that God accepts is his Son. And you can be accepted through him, Jesus, and him alone. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him? So we have here this gospel call. Are you a Christian? Secondly, if you're here today, if you are, how is your calling going? You say, what calling? Your calling. Can I go through and point to each person? Could you stand up and tell me your calling? And your answer should be, of course I can. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. You could quote that. That is your calling. So the question for you and me today is, how are we doing in our calling? Now, it may look different. It's going to look different all over the place. That's okay. Ananias was, I don't know what he did for a living, but it didn't matter. He fulfilled his calling. How about you? Are you doing your calling? Well, then today needs to be a new picture day for you. If you're not fulfilling your calling, let's get a new picture. Say, Lord God, here I am. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Trust me, God will tell you. So, well, I'm not hearing anything from God. It's time to talk to him. So are you part of the family of God? Are you fulfilling your calling? And then are you trusting him in that calling? I don't know how nervous Ananias was when he was walking there. Can you put yourself in his shoes just for a few minutes? So he's going to the most notorious criminal of his day, at least for the Christians, and he's about to walk into this room. Now, he completely trusts God, but he's also human. I don't know how you are, but almost every time that I've ever had a witness opportunity or an intentional witness, I take it, there's always a little bit of nervousness in there, sometimes a lot of it. You think that only happens to you? It happens to everybody. I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't. I'll tell you why. Because if I was so confident, I'd be trusting in me and my words, and I'm just going to do it. I think that sort of thing in my heart, when it kind of makes me a little uncomfortable, forces me to say, oh, dear God, help me. I'm about to walk in this house. What, I need your help. And he helps every time. Every time. And there's been stories I've told you about people that I've taught, trained, and witnessed, and I've done the same thing. I go in there, I use the wrong verse with the wrong point, and I for whatever reason, it's all messed up, and at the end, the person trusts Jesus as their Savior. Because it's a work of God. It's not a work, my work. I'm just an obedient servant. I'm just proclaiming the good news. And so that's the question. You and I can't be deterred. We can't do like others. Ananias is a good example of someone who said, you know what? I'm not going to let fear or intimidation keep me from fulfilling my calling. I'm not going to do it. I will proclaim this good news of faith. So are you doing that? You can do it in many different ways. We have a city here that needs Christ. And we have lots of brothers and sisters in different churches that are, I trust, hopefully, wanting to do the same. Why isn't this city reached then? Well, not everyone will trust, of course, but I wonder if it's because not everyone's fulfilling their calling. So I would ask for you and me today, let's consider Ananias. Great guy, just a common blue-collar guy is the way I look at him, who simply obeyed the Lord in his calling because he understood that it wasn't that guy's responsibility. It was his. And his ministry was important. And your ministry is important. Your ministry is important. Your ministry is important. All of your ministry is important to God. And how can I do that ministry? By living your life so well that people will not only look up, but they will listen when God calls you to go. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, as we're going to sing a song at the end, and I'm going to be at the front, and there might be someone here who just wants to come and pray. You might want to come and ask someone to open up the Bible and show them how they can trust Christ, or maybe they just want to pray for Christ. Or maybe you just want a prayer. I'll be at the front for that. And there'll be others. If I'm busy, I'm sure others will come down and help. And I would just ask that if that's the case for you today, that you wouldn't hesitate. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, you would come. For this altar's for you and me. How about you, Christian, today? Are you fulfilling your calling? God's already spoken your name. He's already called you to go. Let's get it done. Father in heaven, we thank you for these stories that you throw into the Bible that just kind of bring us back to how this mission is your mission and how you use ordinary people, just regular guys and gals that are simply obedient to you. And I love it that you, in your stories, you don't hide the warts they have in their spiritual life. We all got them. But how you even use all those things, and despite those things, to have them do great ministries for Christ. It's amazing, Lord. It's amazing. Look forward to meeting Ananias one day. But Father, until that day comes, I pray that we could be more like him, that we would walk justly and devoutly before God, and that we would have a good reputation among the people, that we are godly, not just that we are good, but we are godly, people that love you. And Father, I pray even this week that you would touch each of us to go. And whatever that straight street is that you call us to walk, may we obediently do it and see your hand. We thank you that you sent someone our way to share Jesus with us. Freely we've been given, so now may we freely give to others. In Jesus' name, amen.